Local mental health advocacy organization Hope Brandt has begun to host an adult peer support group for those in the community struggling with mental health and seasonal affective disorder. So here to talk to me about Hope Brandt and the support group they're offering is Sandra Bell. So thank you very much for doing this morning, Sandra.
Oh, thank you for having me.
To start, for people or listeners who don't know, can you tell us about what Hope Brandt is, where you're located, and some of the things you do and some of the supports that are offered through your organization?
Yeah, okay. So Hope, what we really are is peer support. And everybody, all of our staff, all of our volunteers at Hope have struggled with their mental health. Some still do to some degree. So we're here to offer support to other people because we have a personal lived experience. We're able to offer that emotional support, encouragement, and we can give hope to people that recovery is possible because they see where we are and they realize at one point we were how they are now. So they know that hope is available to them. We've actually been around 30 years, but we're a small little organization. We just celebrated 20 years of WeCare. We've been going to Brantford General Hospital for 20 years every Friday morning, and we offer one-on-one peer support while we're there because a lot of people feel like they're not being listened to. And, I mean, that's a main component of the peer support is listening. So we go there Friday mornings. We offer the peer support. We tell them about resources, our programs, and we offer them hygiene kits as well because a lot of people come in crisis and they don't have anything with them. So that's our longest running program. We also have a Saturday drop-in program, which has been running, I guess, maybe 7 years now. Currently, we're holding that at the Alternatives Activity Center, which is, if people are familiar with CMHA, Canadian Mental Health Association, it's in that building. It's called Chelsea Place. It's 44 King Street. It's on the corner of King and Darling. So that's where all of our programs take place. So the Saturday drop-in is open from 12 to 2:30. Everybody is welcome. You can just sit and chat with people. Everybody is very welcoming because they all understand what you might be going through. We have snacks and coffee and whatnot. Also, I encourage people, if you're having a bad day, please come out to see us. You don't have to stay and chat with everybody, but we always have two trained peer support specialists working. So you can just go, you know, out of the room somewhere and do a one-on-one conversation with them, and hopefully they can help you through your struggles that day.
And so you mentioned the lived experiences that everybody that in Hope Brandt has, and getting into the depression and seasonal affective disorder support group, what inspired the creation of it to begin focusing on these issues that some people are dealing with?
We were noticing the difference with our participants on Saturdays. That they were really struggling every year. It seems to happen during daylight savings. As soon as we change the clock, we start to notice a difference in some of our participants, and they were really struggling. So we thought, you know what, we need something that focuses just on that. A Saturday drop-in is kind of a general depression, anxiety, general mental health, but we were just seeing a lot of people struggling with seasonal affective disorder. And some people will have seasonal affective disorder maybe from like November to March every year, and then they start to feel better. And others, it might be a part of their chronic depression that they have, and then their symptoms worsen at this time of year. I'm actually one of them. I have a really hard time this time of year. I really struggle with the short days. So that was part of the incentive to start this group. We even have staff and volunteers attending the group, because it's just so helpful for everybody. And peer support's great because we're supporting each other. So it's a group, but we're not like running the group. It's a whole group thing. We share with each other coping strategies that we may have, ask questions, and everybody jumps in with their thoughts on ways to deal with the depression.
And you touched on it there, but what types of activities or tools will participants be able to explore during the support group?
We've actually gone through a few things already. So first thing is we really encourage people to try and reach out and stay connected. That's a real problem. People tend to isolate themselves, and you really need that contact with other people. But there's just that tendency to withdraw and isolate. So it can be tough even to connect with a close family member or friend. You might feel too exhausted to talk. Some people are ashamed of their situation. That's that self-stigma there. Or they may feel guilty. But we really, really encourage them to stay connected. Try and do some social activities that they would normally do, because it really will make a difference. Even though it's very difficult to start, to get yourself going, once you're doing it, it's almost guaranteed you're going to feel better. It's not going to cure all of your symptoms, but it's certainly going to reduce your symptoms by having that contact with people.
And I guess for maybe those who could be hesitant to come out to the group, what advice would you give them to encourage their participation?
That happened yesterday. There was a new person came, and they had severe anxiety, but they called and emailed us, and we always welcome people to come into our office. Myself and Joanne, the other program manager, were there part of the week, and we encourage people, come talk to us first if you're nervous, and we'll walk you through it, because we totally understand that, because we've been there at one time, right? So we totally understand that hesitation to come into a new group, because it's scary. It's really scary. But if you contact us ahead of time, we'll be there waiting for you and help ease your discomfort.
And what have you found to be the most helpful takeaway participants get from attending and just keeping coming back?
I think it's that social interaction. It's just, they need that. And because of that isolation, and also they may not be sharing all their symptoms and feelings with family members because they don't want to burden them with them, or they're ashamed of them. But when they come to the group, because they know we're all experienced or have experienced the same thing, they feel much more comfortable and willing to share.
And in terms of seasonal affective disorder, has there been any types of strategies or therapies in the general sense that have been successful in helping people to deal with it?
I can give you some ideas to alleviate the symptoms. We're not clinicians at HOPE. We're peer support. But there are some things you can do. And one of the things is to try and do things that make you feel good. So you have to do things that relax or energize you. So it could be something with your healthy lifestyle, learning to manage your stress better, setting limits on what you're able to do, maybe actually scheduling in a fun activity, even if it's just 10 minutes a day. But do things you enjoy or that you used to like to do, and you'll be surprised at how much better you're going to feel once you do that. And I know it's hard to get going, and people wait for that motivation, and it's not going to happen when you're depressed. You need to kind of push yourself, and then the motivation develops once you start doing it. And you may find yourself, you know, you plan a 10-minute walk, and then you may end up being out there for half an hour once you get going. Also, former hobbies or sports maybe that you like to do. A big one we're finding with people is music and art. Journaling, things like that seem to be really helpful. Or even maybe plan a little day trip to a favorite place of yours that always boosts your mood or brings you joy. So things like that are definitely helpful. A big one we encourage with everyone is to get moving. When you're depressed, just getting out of bed can seem daunting, let alone working out or exercise or whatnot. Personally, I don't push people to go do all kinds of weightlifting and aerobics classes. As far as I'm concerned, a walk. A walk is going to do it. 30 minutes a day is ideal, but when you're having a hard time just motivating yourself, even if you can get out for 10 minutes, and that's going to boost your mood for hours afterwards. And if you can be out in nature, that probably triples the effect of it. And that brings me, we actually have a program called Mood Walks. We're going into our 10th year. It's starting up again on March 5th for our winter session. And we bring people all over Brantford. There's 70 kilometers worth of trails in Brantford. And a lot of people aren't aware of that. So we bring them on we do a different trail every week. We show them what's out there, that you could be out in nature without having to go far. And we tracked it for years, and I can honestly say we have 100% success rate, that their mood is better when we return and their anxiety is decreased. And just one more, it kind of goes with the get moving. You need that sunlight, because this is with, especially with seasonal affective disorder, it's those shorter days are a big part of it. And you really need that dose of sunshine, which is hard to get in the winter. But if you see a sunny day, try and get out there for 10, 15 minutes. It's going to boost serotonin levels and improve your mood, get you some vitamin D in you. A lot of people are deficient in that vitamin D. They're not getting enough from their diet. Also, a trick with getting sunlight, you should take your glasses off, your sunglasses, because that it's absorbed through the corners of your eyes. And that's how it absorbs into your brain. So you want to not wear sunglasses. So get out on your lunch break, grab a friend, walk over to a coffee shop, or even increasing the light in your home. If you're not able to get yourself out yet, open up all your blinds just to make it light in there. And then there's mood light, which have become very popular. I use one every single day for half an hour. Again, you don't want to look directly at the light. It's very bright. If you're going to get one, make sure it has 10,000 lumens. I have found it very helpful, and so have most of the people in our group. So that's always an option. And then, you know, eating healthy, sleeping well. Sleeping is a hard thing because you sleep too much when you're depressed. And then sometimes you sleep so much, you feel horrible when you get up as well. So you want to try and have a schedule and aim for 7 to 9 hours and try to get out of bed after that time.
And I guess just lastly, before we get you out of here, just in terms of the stigma that's attached with mental health issues and those who struggle from them, why is this kind of advocacy so important?
People need to understand depression, anxiety, it's everywhere. And at some point in your life, it's going to affect you, whether you suddenly struggle with a mental health disorder yourself, or you may have to support somebody, a family member or friend who's struggling. So it's going to touch everybody's life, and we need more people to be aware of it, do a little research on it, try and understand more about it. But just be there for people. And like I said, listen to them. That's one of the most important things you can do when someone is struggling.
And just for anyone who's interested or wants to learn more about the support group or just Hope Brandt in general, where can they do that?
They can go to our website, hopebrandt.ca, or they can contact myself via email at sandy@hopebrandt.ca, or they can call our office at 519-751-1694.
All right, Sandra, thank you very much for doing this, and best of luck with everything happening down at Hope Brandt.
Thank you so much.
I'm Andrew Dow, and this news story is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, which supports the creation of original civic journalism.